I thought when Denver was going there, I didn't need to get up. He was stirring the whole thing up, wasn't he? Yeah. You know, the great thing about traveling is you see a lot of things, you know. And so far we've been able to see Southern Ireland and Scotland and England, South England, North England. And it's good to see what God is doing. And there's a thirst. And if you get thirsty, Jesus said, anyone that's thirsty, something can happen. But the moment you think you've got everything, nothing's going to happen. So there's an advert in America. He's a famous Mexican man, and there's this advert for beer. I'm sorry, but it's an advert for beer. And he's famous, and everybody follows him, and he suddenly says, stay thirsty, my friends. And you know, isn't it funny? The world can stay thirsty, but the church is as dry as old sticks. And Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me, and I'll give him to drink. And out of his belly shall flow nothing. What? So what does that look like? It's more than tongues, isn't it? It's manifestation of his glory coming out of our lives. So if God isn't moving in a person's life, did they stop being thirsty? That's a thought, isn't it? All right, let's turn to the scriptures, and I'll stir you up, make you mad, and do anything I can to make you want something. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you. This scripture came to me as I got into North Allerton, so I thought I would read it to you. And I'll have to explain all that it means. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, you are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You're a spring enclosed and a sealed fountain. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with choice fruits, with henna and nard, nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with every kind of incense tree, with myrrh and aloes and all the finest spices. You are a garden fountain, a well of flowing water streaming down from Lebanon. Now, while you're trying to figure out what all that meant, I'll read you another scripture. And you should know this one quite well if you've been around the things of the Spirit much. It's found in Genesis 26, and it says this, Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there, but the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, the water is ours. So watch out. If you start to try and do something for God, it will cause all sorts of trouble. All right? And if you're not having trouble, you're doing nothing. Because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also, so he named it Sitnah. And he moved on from there and dug another well. And no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. From there he went up to Beersheba, and that night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. And Isaac built an altar there, called on the name of the Lord. And there he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug another well. Father, I just pray that you would prophetically speak, Lord, not only into what you are seeking to do here, but what you are seeking to do, Lord, in the church in Wales. And Lord, prophetically show them what you are up to versus what men are up to. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Quite simply, what happens, I sat down in a hotel somewhere back in North Allerton. And as I sat down, I heard these words. You are a well of flowing water. And what the Lord will do is he'll talk to me like that. And when he talks to me like that, he's telling me what he wants to do in an area. And what that literally means, if you're a well of flowing water, that means you've touched something in God that Jesus was talking about. The whole purpose that Jesus came for, according to Isaiah 61, was not only to heal us, not only to save us, not only to restore us, but that we might be planted for the display of his splendor. The word splendor there means for his glory. And actually, what God wants to do is to cause such an overflow in your lives and in this church is that it displays the life of God. But you know, you can't have a group of people displaying the glory of God if individuals don't display the glory of God. You know, if all we're going to do is come every week and rely on Denver to have an overflow, then it's just a one-man show. But what the Lord wants to do is he wants to cause the whole group of us to be wells of flowing water. But you see, what happens quite simply is when Isaac turns up, he finds out that that which is his inheritance had been blocked up. Now, what that means is something had already been done. And when he came to take that which has been done, it said the Philistines had come and blocked it up. You have an inheritance. Do you know, even in this area, there's been moves of God in this area. And also in Llangollen, there's been moves of God in the area. And yet you come to inherit it, and it's not there anymore. It stopped. And if it stopped, you want to know why it stopped. What stops the well of flowing water? What stops the life of God exploding and continue to explode in a land? Jesus has never changed. He didn't just save you to leave you on the back row. He saved you to cause you to flow. In other words, he doesn't want you just to be a person who's always dragging yourself along, but he wants to overflow in your life. Listen to this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does he do? He causes me to go by still waters. He causes me to eat of the pastures of God. Then it says he restores my soul. Then what does he do? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then what does he do? He walks me through the valley of the shadow of death. That's not for dead people. Dead people are carried. They don't walk. Why on earth are we quoting this at funerals? There's another verse after it. And he'd prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. If you're dead, it means all your enemies are in heaven watching. It's not. It means that God so takes you through and brings you so that even the enemy and the demonic forces watch the life of God being given to you and the goodness of God. Then he says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. In other words, you didn't cause me to be a person that got brought into the kingdom of God to have nothing, but you want me to flow over. You want me to run over. You want me to carry the life of God. Now say to yourself, that means me. Oh boy, you sound so convinced. You see, you haven't got an attitude yet, but I'm going to get you to have one. You know, when you move to America, that's the first one of the first words you hear. You'll hear a father say to his son, he said, do I detect an attitude? And you know, a lot of people have got attitudes, but the wrong ones. That's the average Christian church. But we don't want that kind of attitude. The attitude we want is, God, knock those chairs out of the way. I'm getting something from you. And so many of us, we've become like audiences. The performances, we have a little, and we go with that. And then up goes the raving preacher, you see. And we're the audience. And however good he is how blessed. But no, we're not an audience. We're a congregation. We're a group of people who are participating in what God has for us. So we have to have an attitude. If the Lord is my shepherd, my cup should overflow.
That's right.
Is that true? So what blocks up the life of God? From a move of God that was even in this area, what stops it continuing to flow? And there are three things I'll show you. Two of them are in the Song of Solomon, and one of them is actually in Genesis 26. In the Song of Solomon, he gives two descriptions. He says, you're a well of flowing water, but three verses before, he says, you're a garden locked up. All right? Two verses later, she literally says this, listen, my lover is knocking. He says, open to me, my dove, my darling, my beautiful one. My head is drenched with dew, my hair with the dampness of the night. Do you know what that means? Dew and dampness means the anointing is on him. And she says, I've taken my robe off, must I put it on again? I've washed my feet, must I soil them again? Watch what it is. She has broken her relationship with him. She shut the door and she's tired, she's fed up, she's offended, she's fed up with the church, she's not doing any more, she's not going to have to put up with any more of this. And the moment you get like that, you'll shut off the life of God in a second. The other part is in Song of Solomon 4 and verse 12. He said, you're a garden locked up, you're a sealed fountain. It means what you've done is you shut everything out, and nobody is getting in no more, no more, no more. And we can all look at me and say, well, that would never happen to me. Yes, it would. I don't want to get hurt. Then you need to put yourself in a cocoon. And Michael Jackson did that, and it didn't work either. It never does work. And I don't want to put up with any more trouble. Folks, come on out of it. You're going to get in trouble whatever you do. If you sit and watch the TV, someone will shout because you're not moving. So why not get shouted at for something real? Come on, get alive. I mean, I'd rather be in trouble for trying to do something than be successful at doing nothing. And so what she does is she shuts down and it stops the flow of God. And then it tells you in Genesis 26 that the well is closed up because the Philistines or Philistines come along and close it up. That word means to migrate. They are the enemies of the people of God. And what the enemy loves to do is he loves to cause you and people of God to migrate. What does that mean? Pull you away from purpose. Make something more worshipful. We're staying in Manchester, and the last time we were staying in Manchester, Real Madrid came in to play Man United. And you saw people with colours and scarves and shouting and carrying on and etc. And I preached up in Halifax, and I came back, and as I came back, people weren't shouting anymore. People were very upset. In fact, they were just sobbing, and when I got it back into the hotel, their heads were down like this. The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, just got torn from my throne. And suddenly all the noise stopped, because it's so easy to follow a bag of wind, but it's so hard to follow the King of Kings. And we are easily pulled out. There's always something more important, and the migration starts. You catch what I'm saying? And the Philistines actually put the dirt in there. You know what dirt is? From the dust we came, and to the dust we will return. Do you know the one thing in your life that will stop the life of God? You. Yeah. Unforgiveness, petty offenses, not putting things right, allowing issues to control your life. And instead of continuing to walk with God, how many of you ever heard someone say this? You just don't know what they said. Well, let's do it like this. You don't know what he said. And it's like, so what? You mean that's more important than your walk with God? And what we do is we allow all these petty things to come in, or we allow our flesh to rise up, and it's more important that I'm right than he's right. And suddenly we're migrating away from the purposes of God, and suddenly instead of the life of God coming, boom, nothing. You migrate away. Suddenly it's not worth worshiping. Suddenly it's not worth... He got up and he said, come on, worship! Well, the trouble is we can't make you worship if you're not in relationship. All we can do is entertain you and sing nice songs. But if you're in relationship, you want to worship. But if you've migrated away, you stop worshiping. That's why it says in Psalm 80 verse 18, revive us again, O God, revive us again, and we will call on your name. Oh, breathe on us again so that our hearts might be for you. Psalm 85 and verse 6, oh God, revive us again that we might rejoice in you. Stir us up, because if not, we've migrated away. Where things become more important, and suddenly all the life of God goes. Or you know another thing that does it? Religion. Yeah. How many of you didn't get saved by grace? What one of you saved yourself? What one of you changed your own life? Yet the moment we get changed, we look down our nose at someone that hasn't been changed. The moment we get a victory, we start to talk against someone that doesn't have the victory. The moment God brings us through, we look down at another because he hasn't got there yet. And the pettiness of religion closes up the life of God. But in the same prophecy, he says this, although you are a garden locked up, I see, says the Lord, a well of springing water stirring up again. Now, what the Lord just told me in my spirit was that he wants to do something in this area to cause a well to flow again. He wants to bring back that which was here, but he wants more. He wants to do the same in Llangollen. A well of flowing water cannot be stopped. So now we know what cancels it, what brings it back. Number one, there's got to be an attitude, I want it back. Every one of you should sit in here and say, I am not talking about my past anymore. I'm talking about my future. I'm shutting the door on what I was and I'm taking hold of what's coming because God wants me to flow. I want you to get this attitude. God wants me to flow. God wants me to overflow. I should be the carrier. And if Denver doesn't do it quick enough, I'll outrun him. Don't worry about that. I'll come in bubbling over with God. And I've told our church, if you can outrun me, try it. And my daughter's trying pretty hard. I mean, she's coming in bubbling over all over the place. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, we've got to have more of this. And she's going, I'll beat him. No, I'll beat her. I'll beat him. I'll beat her. I'll beat him. Why not? Because we want more of God. And I don't just want it to be me. I want it to be everybody overflowing. I want to cause an oasis in the middle of a desert that anybody that walks through the door walks into God. I want to cause an oil slick. So you come through the door, you hit the oil slick, you slide all the way to the altar. You run into someone out there who's got such a touch of God. You don't even have to come in and hear Denver preach. You just got saved in the car park. Someone greeted at your door. They're so full of the Holy Ghost that when they shook your hand, you said, what was that? And you lead them to the Lord. Pray they just got delivered. And they're down on the floor on the outside because someone's flowing in God. Do you understand what God wants to do here? He doesn't want to raise up some big shot Denver preacher. He wants to raise a life of God up, a well of flowing water in the whole place. I'm telling you, he wants this area alive again. So I'm going to tell you something about inheritance. I get so annoyed, and he just did it. My name is not Dennis Davis. My name is Dennis Goldsworthy Davis. I tell everybody the story. I'm going to tell it to you again. My father changed the family name Goldsworthy to Davis before I was born because he fell out with his father. So my inheritance of worthy of gold was stolen from me. And the Bible says, do not remove an ancient landmark. And when he did it, he switched me over to my Irish grandmother's name, which she was a great woman, but my inheritance was worthy of gold. So 13 years ago, the Holy Spirit told me, go take your name back. And when I took my name back, I had to come into England to do it. When I took my name back, I left the Davis for honor of my dad and put Goldsworthy in the middle. The day I did it, I went to a meeting in Nottingham. A woman walked up to me and said, God told me if you come back into the country, I'm to give you part of my inheritance. I said, really? Because you don't expect the English to be that generous. You know, if an American said it, you think there's some hope. And so when I said, really? And she said, yes. I said, well, how much are we talking about? 13 years ago, she said, £20,000. You know, $33,000, now probably worth $50,000. And I just looked at her, you know, trying to do the Hollywood look, you know. And sure enough, she put £20,000 in my bank account. And I said to the Lord, what is that all about? The day I took my name back, inheritance was handed back to me. Now, the first thing you need to know is anything that has been gained by your family belongs to you. Anything that has been gained in this area, anything that has been won, any battle that has been won, any outpouring that has been done belongs to you. So if there's been and there has been outpourings in this area, and miracles in this area, and if they have been stopped up in any way, you turn up and say, I have an inheritance in the saints. And according to the word of God, I claim my inheritance. I want back what belongs to me. But how many know we can take our inheritance all the way back to Christ? And every move of God that's ever been seen is ours. But you see, we're just in such a you know, we speak a lot of Spanish in San Antonio, and some of us mess with it. But how many of you remember this famous song? Que será, será, whatever will be, will be. Listen to the next statement. The future's not ours to see. What a bunch of rubbish. Ser is the Spanish word to be. If you put A on it with an accent, you're saying will be. All right? So watch Doris Day. She was singing, we have no right to know our future. I'm telling you, yes, you do. You have a right, because what will be has been ordained by God, not by man. And the reason God sends prophets in is to stir you up and say, stop sitting there thinking, well, whatever God does, he does. He knows my address. And get off your spiritual buttocks and say, my God, I'm a child of the living God, and I'm not sitting waiting on anything. I'm going to start digging. I'm going to start claiming. I'm going to start proclaiming what my God says. You remember, God sees like an eagle. You see like a turkey. So all you can see is what's around you, and God can see everything. And that's why he sends the prophetic. I'm not here to entertain myself. I'm here to declare that God wants to reopen wells in this area and in Llangollen. I know for a fact he wants to open them up, and but he's saying, I, my God, me, want to get hold of you, and someone needs to do it. Is there anyone? It's almost like that famous American verse. I said, is there anyone? The trouble is, most of the places, there's no one. No one, because, oh, I don't know if I want the trouble. You know, every time I try to do something, there's trouble. Well, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. We are so pathetic, aren't we? But I want to stir you up and say, God wants you to do it. I don't want Denver to run up and grab me, throffing like a maniac, and say, I'm the man. I want all of you to say, I'm the man. I'm the woman. I'm the one. This is the church. This is the reason we're birthed. God didn't just birth another church. He birthed a church for a purpose. He birthed a place that was to birth something. God didn't send you into Llangollen just to do another thing. He said, open up those wells. Bring this move of God back, and I'll give you some more. But here is the problem with it. The moment you try to do it, there's always trouble. I'm going to shock you. I get very little trouble from the world. I get most of my problems from other churches. The herdsmen of Gera, the other herdsmen, they wanted to contend and cause trouble. If you haven't had trouble in this church already, you haven't done anything yet. If you haven't been accused of being a cult yet, you haven't gone anywhere. If you haven't been called arrogant by other men of God, you haven't gone anywhere. Oh, he's just arrogant, Denver. He just thinks he can do. No, he doesn't think he can do. He knows he can do. Amen. And you see, the moment trouble comes, most of us go, oh, I don't know. I don't know. Let me tell you, I've been in this ministry nearly 40 years. I've seen more trouble than you can count. And I have got more fanatical today. And I've seen more of God today than I've seen before. And I want to tell you, trouble doesn't stop a move of God. Men who are cowards stop a move of God. Well, I don't like to be talked about. You're talked about anyway. Yeah, but I don't like people to lie about me. They lie about you anyway. They do. If I'm as bad as they say I am, someone should have executed me. And all I did was one God. So, folks, I'd rather go for it and say, my God, I don't care about the trouble. In fact, the trouble makes it worth it, because the devil doesn't bother with someone that's doing nothing. Why bother with someone that won't bother you? But the moment you stand up tonight and say, that's me, you are talking to me, the moment you do that, the enemy will say, has God said? First thing you'll do. And the next thing you say, who do you think you are? Let me tell you who I am. I'm just a man redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm a man who's been called by God to carry his presence. You're a person redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and you've been called by God to carry his presence. That's who you are. And the enemy will say, well, who do you think you are? Oh, I'm just a son of God. Because anyone that receives him gives the authority. So I'm a son of God who has a right to carry everything that belongs to a son of God. And if children, then heirs and co-heirs with Jesus, it means everything he's got's mine. I just got to know it's mine too. I'm sorry I'm getting excited. You're not supposed to get excited in church. But that's the problem. This is the church because I am the church. So I can get excited in the bathtub and I'm the church. I'm more excited today. I can't stop. And even when I'm with dead people, and I do raise the dead a few Sundays. Even when I'm with dead people, it doesn't stop me. My wife says, you're eccentric. I said, why am I eccentric? She said, have you ever seen yourself preach? That's not eccentric, that's belief. I actually believe, because I've seen things, I actually believe that in the middle of a message one day, the glory is going to drop on the people. I actually believe, and if you don't believe in angels, don't hang around me. Because they have walked into meetings. I've had them come up and stand behind, and they're big. Cody thinks he's big, he's a shrimp. And they've stood there. Why are they standing? Because angels only turn up when the presence turns up. Why am I excited? Because I think that every time I'm declaring the truth, I might get more of it. I'm not joking. I feel that tonight is a night, Lord, where you have declared a well of flowing water. So that means that could be me. That could be here. This should be here. So folks, if there's trouble, don't back down. Stand up. If someone starts gossiping, say, oh, that sounds good. Because the moment the gossip starts, they're trying to put you off running. Go on, go back to your dead Baptist church. Go back to the church that doesn't expect God to move. Instead of digging together and fighting, go on, listen to the lying gossip. Or take hold of the promises of God and say, Lord, doesn't matter what they say, I will not let go. I am going to be a well of flowing water. Amen. Now, what God is after is that you fight until there is room for you. Amen. I mean this before God. You must fight as a church until there is room for you. And even if everything comes against you, you fight till there is room for you. Rehoboth means a place of room, and God will flourish you. You say, well, how long? I don't know how long. I just know you fight. You individually fight. You individually dig. You carry on until there is room for you. Amen? Don't take any notice, listen, of what others are doing. And this is very important because what you can do, you see, if I say, well, I must wait for all the churches to catch up, you'll wait a long time. If you say, but, you know, we've got a movement of the churches in the area, wonderful. I mean, beautiful. But was God telling them to dig the well or you? If we're always waiting for people to catch up, it'll be like turning around in this meeting and say, well, when you do it, I'll do it. No. Well, if you don't ever do it, they might never do it because they might never see it. So the whole attitude is, I can't wait for everybody to catch the vision. I must hear what God says, and I must start to dig. Lord, I will go till there's room for me.
Right.
Now listen to this. There is room for you at the right hand of God. But you got to go till you find the room. David said, oh God, you have shown me the paths of life. And it is found in Psalm 16 and verse 11. And you have shown me the pleasures by your right hand. In Psalm 16 and verse 5 and 6, he says, Lord, you have caused the delightful inheritance to come for me. You've caused the boundaries to fall for me. Oh God, my lot is secure. What's he done? He's pushed his way through until he sees the life of God, and then he causes the boundaries of his own life to explode. At the moment, What have we got? 10, 15, 20 people? And he said, well, that's not enough, Lord. No, it's not enough. But if you break through in God, suddenly you will make room. You got to catch this. Not only should the devil know your voice, he should know your voice. I like that way. He says, oh, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? Well, then it's about time you did know who I was. And not because of me, but because of where I have stood. And because of what has touched me. And when I come out carrying the smell of the King, the devil knows. But it's more than that. God needs to know I am on his doorstep. He needs to know that I am pushing until the boundaries extend of my life. Until this church's boundaries explode and you're on again. You know, I look at you, my brother. You remember a man called Trevor Deering? Listen to me. I looked at you and I heard the word Trevor Deering. Did you know that Trevor Deering gave up the ministry? And he was a worn out man and a sick man. And the Lord sent him to a little church in a place called Welling Garden City by an unknown preacher, and the anointing was there. And the little unknown preacher laid hands on Trevor Deering and God healed him, filled him with the Holy Spirit, and God released him back. And I'm looking at you and I hear Trevor Deering. And you see men say, shut him down. God says, revamp him. So you're Trevor Deering. You see, your little unknown church could be Langofflin, where a place where the Spirit of God explodes in you and suddenly this guy comes back out. And you'll go, who's he? Say Trevor Deering. There you go. It's near, isn't it? Welling Garden City. Amen. So there's something there. You hear that. But folks, what about us? What about this place? It's like I'm throwing a grenade in here and I'm trying to stir you up. And I'm trying to say to you, come on, guys. Do you know that this is no accident? Because when Denver told me about starting the work, I began to think, well, you know, everybody's starting works. That's what I did. And as I began to pray, he said, and it was only when I arrived in North Allerton, the Lord told me what you're here for. But folks, you have to make room. Have you made room in the courts of God for you? Have you presented yourself daily? Have you cried out to Jesus? You're talking about thirsty Jesus? Here I am. I will not let you go until you touch me. I will not let you go till your life explodes in me. God, I don't think I'm preaching to myself. It's like, if you don't want it, Lord, I will not let you go until every promise of God is poured out in my life. I will not let you go personally. We will not let you go because God has promised Langofflin a move of God. He said, revival was the word he said. No, I will not let you go. Circumstance aren't it, Lord. I don't care what counsel comes against me. I will not let you go. I will make room in the presence of God. Lord, you will know my name more than you know it today. I'll be there. Amen. Make room. Yeah, we haven't finished yet. Good attitude though, bro. Good attitude. You know, churches are so churchy that nobody wants anybody to do that. Well, why shouldn't you do that? I was telling them a story about Mississippi. I was preaching in Mississippi, and this guy just come up in my face, and he just said, you're not going to, you pray for me. He actually did that, he poked me. Don't like being poked. See, God knew I didn't like being poked, so he poked me. Reminds me of my past. What are you poking for? I'm provoking you. Poking you to provoke you. He doesn't like being poked either. That's why I'm poking him. I can feel it. Don't poke me. But here's the point. He was poking me to provoke me. And what he was saying to me is, I will have what God is doing in your life today. I will have this. And it says in Isaiah 12 and verse 3, with joy you will draw waters from the well of salvation. And the word means you will bail it out for yourself. And that's what I'm saying. As we make room in God, we bail out the promises of God. And as we make room, we push on Jesus to do. This is how I pray, because we're going to move on in a minute. But this is how I pray. I stop telling God the problems. I stopped saying, yeah, but Lord, you know what it's like here, Lord. You know what they're like in North Allerton. Oh, you know what they're like in Thirsk. Oh, God, and you should go to Darlington. And oh, God, my God, you know how rough it is. And God's going to say, for goodness sake, stop whinging, you pom. Now, let's try a new way of praying. Excuse me, Lord, but you said, I think I found this somewhere in the Bible. Lord, you have told me that you know me by name. You have told me that I find favor with you. If I have found favor with you, then I am asking you, Lord, to continue to reveal your ways to me so that I will continue to find favor with you. And the Lord said, my presence will go with you. In other words, I'll turn my face towards you. And then the same prayer said, if you don't go, I won't go. If you don't turn up, I'm not moving. Because I won't be any different to anyone else. And God says, next verse, verse 17 of Exodus 33, God said, because I do know you by name, and because you have found it, I'll do what you said. So Moses said, then do it. He did. And we all say, you can't talk to God. Yes, you can. God made the promise, not you. And we're so polite. You've got American politeness and British. Lord, if it be thy will, if thou couldest just bless me. No! You said! You know, are you aware in the Hebrides revival what happened? As God began to move, in one island, suddenly there's a prayer meeting in another one. And in the middle of this prayer meeting, a young man stood up and said, Lord, your reputation is at stake. You've said something and you're not doing it. And in the next few minutes, the power of God fell on an island. And you're saying, you can't, you're not getting it. We are sons of God. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Therefore, we come boldly to the throne of grace, not just to get mercy, but to tap into the promises. You said, Lord, you want a well? Here I am. You said, out of my belly? Here I am. I don't just want to speak in tongues. I want a river pouring out of me that overflows and touches lives. You said. I need to teach you some basic Hebrew, because I know you all know Hebrew. Because Cody wants to get me back for poking him, I'll use you. He's too big to mess with. So I want to actually show you a scripture. How many of you know the scripture from Jeremiah 33:3, which says, if you will call on me, I'll tell you things you don't know? How many of you know that the word is not call as in call? How many of you know the word is actually confront? How many of you know the word is actually contest? Actually, how many of you know the word actually means? So if he's walking by like this, it literally means, go walk by me. It means. That's exactly what it means. And when Abraham, you read that in Genesis 18, where God goes to move and Abraham gets in his face. He says, Lord, whoa, what's he doing? What's he doing? He's taking God on with who God is. See, a lot of see. You can't. That's why nothing ever happens. But we've got to say, God, you said. Do you understand? You said. This is your promise. I'm standing according to your promise. You said if anyone receives you, you give them the authority to become a son of God. I have received you. I have the authority. So as a son of God, I'm asking you to do what you said. And I will not stop until you do so, because you said. The moment you move like that, you change the atmosphere. It's not arrogance, it's not cockiness, it's truth. If you're arrogant or cocky, God will get you. But if you come with a heart saying, you said, my God, you said. You're catching this. Now, the Lord wants you to keep on going until there's room for you. He wants you to ignore the gossip. He wants you to ignore the talking. And he wants the rest of you to stop listening. If you listen, you will destroy your own walk. If anything has to be contested, come and ask. That sounds Christian. But don't let it. And you keep going till there's room. I believe that there could be room in minutes. But and don't worry how much room for the church first. Make room for yourself. You be a walking revival. You walk into God in a way you've never walked into Him before. You do it. 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 You deserve to do it. You've been around for years. Come on. And what about you? Why would God give me a word for you in the middle? He don't want you to just sit back there. Well, okay, sirrah. There's no case, sirrah. You just heard it. I'd be up on my chair already. Say, hey, excuse me, preacher. Can we just have a prayer meeting? Would you be quiet a minute? Oh, God, did you just say that? Yeah. See, we're so religiously charming. I met a man. And as I met this man, he had met God. And God had told him, you build a fire, I'll send the people. When I met the man and he told me the story, every hair on my body stood up at the presence of God. He then takes me into a garden and sings a song that an angel had sung to him. I just went like a crazy man. We were down near a beach. I said, I got to go. I left my wife talking to him. I ran to the beach and I screamed. I cried, oh God, oh God, oh God. What had God just done? He had done what he did to Paul the Apostle. He took hold of me. He gripped me with the potential of what he wanted to do in my life. He gripped me with knowing what that man had, I could have. He let me feel the presence of God come off the man. I was there as he touched people. I caught them as the power of God came off him. But it wasn't what I wanted. I didn't want to watch him. I wanted to reach in myself until I had it. God. Jesus said, anyone who thirsts, make room for yourself, O man of God. Do you know why I just called you? O man of God. When a man of God becomes the man of God, anything can happen. Amen. Make room for yourself. Make room, church. Make room, land, God. Make room, oh man of God. You know you're not supposed to be out of any ministry. I'm prophesying to you, this is not the will of God concerning you. What about you, Dave? My God. God, I know where you came from. I came from there. But how about being an addict for the presence of the King? How about being so filled with fire that everybody comes to David to get touched by the King of God? Come on, what I'm saying to you. And this is, I wouldn't do this to everybody. I'm but doing it to you because I heard him. All right, let's just do something. You need to do something. Listen to what it says. You are a well of flowing water coming down from Lebanon. Now I understand, because I've studied the Song of Solomon, that when the description is given of Jesus, he's given of that of Lebanon. It means he has the beauty and the majesty of a king. And when it says you're a well of flowing water coming from Lebanon, it means you have touched the king again. When she in the Song of Solomon hears him on the door. She literally hears him on the door. She gets up and she reaches out and he's gone. So she chases him until she gets what he has. He's knocking on the door, said, I'm covered in anointing. I'm flowing. Come on, let me touch you. Get up again and say, I don't care what I've been through. I don't care what they've done. I don't care what they've said. I'm going to get up again. And Lord, I'm going to touch you and I'm going to connect to you and I'm going to embrace you and I'm going to let your life flow through me. And if you need to repent, you repent. You say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for letting it affect me. Forgive me, Lord, for giving up. Forgive me for shutting you out. Forgive me for letting my flesh rule. But oh God, here I come again. What I like about him is he's not just a God of second chances. He's a God of 102nd chances. See, if I'm a prophet at all, some of you are just going crazy right now. Some of you are going... They said to one man, after he finished preaching, you didn't know what you want to do. You just want to fight someone. What am I in here for? I'm in here to tell you, you are of God. But you have to make room. I'm here to tell you, you are of God. But you have to make room. Now listen to what happens. When they made room, it didn't stop there. Don't stop at just making room. Don't stop at a little blessing. We will flourish in the land. Oh, a little blessing. That's not what... He moved on from there until he came face to face with the King himself. I'll tell you something. I promise you this. With all I've said to stir you up, you have an entitlement to have a face-to-face with the King himself. You have the right. I'm promising you something. You have the right to so touch God that you carry the presence of God with you wherever you go. You have a right. And once you've made room, don't stop there. Push on to another well called Beersheba, which is the place of covenant. Until the Lord comes again and says, this is why you were born. This is why I birthed you. This is why I didn't let you die. This is why you'd never drown. This is why that accident never killed you. Because I was waiting to touch you again. This is why no matter what went on, I wouldn't let you go, because this is what I want. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Your love is more delightful than wine. In other words, anything I ever got from wine is nothing compared to this encounter. Pleasing are the fragrances of your anointings. Suddenly, do you understand what anointing? Oh God. I love this. Do you know what the word anointing means? It means to take oil and to rub it into you. Listen to this. You know, every now and then, you'll put a little spray on, you smell okay. But when the anointing fragrance of Jesus touches you, he rubs it into you so much that when you come out of it, like Moses, he did not know his face shone. You didn't know you smelt like Jesus. You didn't know you were carrying his presence. Come on. And it goes on from there. You didn't know. You just were. See, I love this when God begins to... I've walked into meetings. This is just me. I've walked into meetings and the presence of God was so on me, I didn't know it was. As I walked in, the people would suddenly get hit by God. As I would walk up to people and the presence of God, and they would start to manifest the presence of God just because he had been saying, hey, Dennis, how are you, son? Oh, how are you? And then listen what the next statement says. And your name. Oh, this is so good. It's like anointing poured out. You come out of the encounter carrying his name. It's not that you're walking around saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's nothing to do with it. You're carrying it. And as you walk out, you are manifesting the one you encountered. Do you understand? So not only are you doing it, but suddenly now you have a well where you draw people in. You catching this? And you could say, yeah, I bet. I'm telling you as an individual, yes. We've had people drive past our church and come in and tell us when we went past that building, there was a presence. Come on. This is what God has for this place. This is what you're here for. Jesus' name gets poured out because you wouldn't stop. And suddenly he makes his covenants with you. And that's where it says, and there he put his tent. And there he placed his altar. And there another well was dug, right there where you're the carrier. Now, I don't know if you'll remember everything I said, but do you understand that what the Lord wants to do is more than just a little move? More than a little kiss. He wants to smother this place with the life of God. And he wants the enemy to say, what on earth are you doing that with him for? So he can say, because I'm God and you're not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some man said to me in Ireland the other day, he said, you seem to have this thing that you just want people to encounter God.
That's right.
I do, I just have this thing. This is what I believe. This is what the Lord told me. He said, you introduce the Holy Spirit to the church and anything can happen. I'm prophesying to you. I'm actually walking in prophecy. I'm coming in to tell you something. I want to show you how fast it is to repent. Are you ready? It's really quick. Watch this. Heavenly Father, I just come to you in Jesus' name and I confess every sin I know, and you can do that, and every sin I don't know. Oh, and because I'm at the throne of mercy, I receive your forgiveness and I forgive myself. What you just then did is open the door for grace to start to manifest. But can't we beat ourselves like Benedictine monks? It's just a waste of a beating. You can if you want, but why beat yourself when it's already as far as the east is from the west? And if you ask a second time, you say, what are you talking about? Now, as I just did, I say, Father, I have confessed, I'm talking now. Father, I have confessed everything I know. There is not one thing I've done or thought that I have not confessed. And Lord, I would naturally say to you, how could I be worthy? But suddenly you don't look at Dennis, you look at Jesus. And you see me through your Son, and I stand there, and Lord, anything I don't know, I confess to. I know that you'll take care of it now under the blood of Jesus. And Lord, you are good and faithful to remove all unrighteousness from me. And so now as I receive that, I now stand as your servant in your stead. Hallelujah. That's it.
So if I ask God for forgiveness, at the same time I forgive myself, are you saying me forgiving myself is God?
No, God forgives you, but you must forgive you. Because he says if you don't forgive, he won't forgive. So the moment you forgive you... Okay, so you do that.
That's helped a lot.
So the moment you do that, you ask his forgiveness, you forgive yourself. Now you stand in the place to say, Lord, you have said that I am a son of God. You have said this. You have said that. You've said that this church is necessary. I prophesy to you, this church is necessary. This church has been birthed, I'm prophesying now, to agitate. This church has been birthed to so agitate that it would cause the pearl to be birthed. This church has not been birthed in retaliation, says the Lord. It has not been birthed to prove a point. It has been birthed to birth. It has been birthed to encounter. And this church has not been birthed to walk within its past encounters, but has been birthed to walk within the encounters purposed by God. There is visitation on the horizon. Denver, I prophesy to you, there is visitation on the horizon. I'm going to do something very strange when I pray for you. And I'm going to show you, it's strange until you understand what it is. When they speak in Spanish about face-to-face, they always say cara y cara. We think of face-to-face just there. But cara y cara would be face and face. All right? So we would think face to face, he kisses me. But when we go face to face, I'm sorry about this, we go like that. All right? Well, what that means is two people dancing together, two people walking together. Only lovers go face to face. And the Lord's about to touch Denver face to face. Now, here's the biggest issue. When God touches you face to face, what do you do about it? You know what she did in the Song of Solomon? She said, draw me. I will run after you. Let the king bring me into his chambers. I want everything that you have promised for me. Now, I'm going to carry on and finish this message before I do this, and I will pray. If you carry on reading Genesis 26, I want you to do that for yourself. Do you know, after God visits him, and after the covenant is made, his enemy comes to make covenant with him. For when God makes covenant with you, even those who stood against you will see God with you and come and make covenant with you. You don't do it to get that. It will just happen. Let's just stand. Hey, could you do me a favor? I don't want you to sing. Would you just strum the guitar for me?